So, God, it's interesting. God's been showing me, you know, it's when you get, when you become more dead in your walk, he shows you more things that you, like some things are very obvious. You're like, oh, yeah, that needs to change, or that's this way. And then other things are more subtle. And you don't really catch it until you
catch it.
until you get really quiet before God. Because I am not good about getting quiet before. I mean, I spend time with God all the time. And I'll talk to God 24/7. But I don't always shut up. I talk a lot. Runs in the family. We just have the ability to talk. But that's not the way a conversation works. A conversation is you talk and then you be quiet and you let the other person talk. And oddly enough, I do a lot of the talking. And God's like, anytime you're ready to to let me in on the conversation, I'm more than willing to share with you. So, but it's good. It's fun how God shows you stuff. I'm trying to think of the exact example. About a month ago, I was in a conversation with a woman on Facebook, of all places, because that's where I do most of my proselytizing. She was saying that there was a woman that it all came about because people are bringing up the version of the Bible that came that's supposedly older than the King James. Well, it is older than the King James, and they were talking about how some of the words are different and translations and things like that. And I got in a discussion because she was saying, well, the only way to come to Christ is by saying, you have to say God's name correctly or else you can't. And I was like, I don't know where you got that from. You know, it's funny because, and then there was a testimony that I got, somebody sent me, and it was of a guy, and Jesus came to him, and he said the name of Jesus came to him, and she was saying the name of Jesus was not the correct name if you want to be saved. And I'm like, if this guy had somebody show up to him and said, I'm Jesus, obviously Jesus shows up to you, you know, it's like, anyway. So long story short, she was wrong, and I gently persuaded her in the right direction. Whether she accepted it or not, she stopped talking to me. So, but it's interesting because I find myself in a lot of things, and I'll be so strong in one area, and then another area I'm a little wavering, I just don't understand it well. And I'm sorry, I'm being very obtuse right now. I'm waiting for my.
Waiting for the coffee to
kick in? Yeah, no, I don't drink coffee.
Oh.
Actually, about 2 months ago, I stopped drinking coffee.
Wow.
And then I stopped drinking healthy sodas. I'm only drinking water, and it's actually been amazing.
Wow.
I did go out to dinner with my wife last night, and we had dessert afterwards, and that was probably why I'm groggy this morning, because I had dessert.
Sugar
will destroy your brain. Yeah, amen. What we need to do is, like, okay, I've told you this story before. I was driving past the cemetery where my dad is buried, and I was praying that God would raise him from the dead. And I had the faith that he could raise dad from the dead. And then my fear was that Jesus wouldn't open the grave and my dad wouldn't be able to get out. And I'm like, how stupid is that, that I could assume, you know, that I would have the faith for dad to be raised from the dead, but not have the faith that God would open the ground.
Yeah.
And that was mind-blowing to me, that why in this area am I completely solid? And then in this area, am I wavering? It's like, God is God regardless. And if you have the faith for him to do that, you know, he said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, I don't know if you guys know how big a mustard seed is, but it's like the sign of a pinhead.
Yeah.
You can move a mountain.
Yeah.
A mountain. And I'm like, okay, God, you can do it. And what I'm seeing is, my problem is we put God in too much of a box. And it has to do with our earthly understanding, and it's like God can only do this. It's like, no, that dream that guy had was, it was incredible. It made me cry. He was a Muslim, and he would go to the mosque every day, and he'd pray whatever it is, three times a day, five times. I don't remember what he said. And he was praying in Arabic, and he goes, I don't even know what I'm saying. He goes, I don't speak Arabic. I'm Persian. God, why is it that you're God that I have to speak to you in Arabic? Why can't I not speak to you in Persian? Can you not understand me in Persian? Wow. He got angry, and he said, I'm not doing your thing anymore. I'm not coming here. If you're real, you have to show yourself to me. And a week later, God showed up to him in a dream. And he was standing there, and his mom was there, and this person was handing him some papers. And he said, I'm Jesus. And he's like, and he woke up. And he went to his mom to tell him about the dream. And she was there with her daughter, his sister, and they were crying. And he's like, why are you guys crying? And they're like, we had a dream.
I heard.
Yeah. And he's like, well, what's the dream? And she said, this person showed up to us and handed us a paper and said, I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're like, and so they're all sitting there crying. And they're like, well, how do we find out about this Jesus? And they're like, we don't know. And then there was a knock at the door. And this guy, and they opened the door, and it was their neighbor. And the neighbor said, I have something for you. And he puts down a Bible on the table. And he said, God told me to give this to you. And they're like, well, why haven't you told me about this God before? And he said, you just hadn't told me to. And he said, I woke up, I had a dream. And I woke up, and God said, it's time for you to give this to them. And they go, well, what was the dream? And he told them a dream, and it was the same dream. It's like, why is that not the God that we have?
Right.
We don't expect him to do that kind of stuff. We put him in a box and go, well, I have to do something to help him out. It's like, no, you don't.
Just believe.
Just. What was interesting, I talked on last week in Fort Worth on the Lord's Prayer, because God had been putting it on my heart. And I always, it's weird to me. I say it and I'm like, this makes no sense. I mean, parts of it do, but parts of it are weird. Lord, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Do we forgive people who trespass against us? You'd think the God part would be far first, you know, forgive us our trespasses and then we'll forgive others who trespass against us. But it's not, you know, just, you know, lead us not into temptation. Why would God lead us into temptation? You know, but it's not about understanding. It's about obedience. And it was weird because I was doing that. And then I was teaching confirmation the previous week to the young girls that are there, that are the right age, that are the, you know, 11, 12. And it was the Lord's Prayer. And then somebody came up to me after church and said, about the day I was doing the confirmation, and said, the Lord told me to tell you to start praying the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's like, okay, I hear you, Lord. it was about peace in my family, because my wife struggles a lot with doing things correctly. And I'm always telling her, relax, just trust God. She's like, no, I got to do it right. I got to raise our daughter right. I got to do everything right. I got to keep the house clean. I'm like, relax. I love you just the way you are. You don't have to do anything for me. Yeah, I know, but I have to do it for me. And I started praying the Lord's Prayer, which is weird to me. I mean, it's simple, whatever. And there just kept being more peace over my household. That's not normal. That's God. That doesn't make any sense. That prayer doesn't have anything about peace in it.
Right.
But because I was doing what God told me to, there was more peace over my household. My wife was more receptive to stuff. I wasn't praying, God, because I've been praying for years. Lord, bring peace to my wife. Let her not to be so, you know, if you do use psychological terms, she's a type A. You know, everything has to be perfect and clean and you have to do it right. And it was funny because we were talking the other day and I said, she goes, why don't you do it this way and this way? And I said, honey, I'm a creative. I said, I work as hard as I can so that I can not work and go enjoy myself. And she goes, oh. She goes, that doesn't make any sense. Because my wife would fill every waking hour with work if she could. If it's not done, do it. And I'm like, I don't work that way. That's not the way God built me. That may be right in your mind, but I am who God made me to be, and I can't push against who God made me to be. God made me to worship Him. God made me to enjoy His earth. God made me to rest. He said, you know, work and rest and work and rest. I can't work and work and work and work. Yeah. That's not how I'm built. It's good. I mean, if it weren't for her, I wouldn't work at all. It's good. She and I are a very good complement. I get her to slow down and she gets me to, you know, kick it in gear. So God knows what He's doing when He puts people together. If it weren't for my wife, I wouldn't be the man I am in Christ. Because my dad would always say, your spouse is who drives you to Christ. And that's exactly who it is. And she shows me things all the time. And I'm like, ah, that's something that I need. Her favorite line is, I thought you were a pastor. I love that. Ooh, just get it right there in the heart. Man, I am a pastor. But the fun thing is because of my dad, I don't have guilt. I love the fact. I love that. Yeah. My wife has a hard time putting any kind of guilt on me because Jesus loves me just as I am, and He'll forgive me and all my mistakes. That's what I love about it. You make a mistake, you just go, God, forgive me. It was when David in the Bible sinned, he killed his friend. And David said, man, against thee and thee only have I sinned. You're like, whoa, as a human, you go, no, you sinned against that guy and that lady and all your entire country. But all those people are children of God. And so you sinned against God because we're his children. And when you hurt a child, who comes after you? The father comes after you if you were to hurt their child. So it's like, God is reaching us. And when I walked in this morning and you guys were talking about that, it's like, I know the stirring that you guys have in you. And I will agree, what the word kind of that I heard, it wasn't loud, but it was like, continue, but then also continue, because we need to meet as a body, but we also need to be going out. And it's hard because I've been trying to, Monty Mitchell, I don't know how many of you guys know Monty. He and Jackie go out every Saturday and sometimes other days during the week, and they go meet with the homeless for 5-6 hours, different groups, and they every Saturday. And I've been telling them, I'm going to come with you one of these Saturdays, and I can't, man. I get up and I'm like,
Jackie is his wife.
No, Jackie Smith at Fort Worth Church.
Okay, that's a man.
No, that's a woman.
Okay.
Jackie's, you'd know her if you saw her. She's been there forever.
Okay.
But they go and they meet with the homeless, and it's awesome. And 10 to 15 to 20 people get saved every weekend.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's his calling. His calling is to get people saved.
Awesome.
My calling is to grow people up. You save them, bring them, grow them up.
Yeah.
Their church isn't quite on the page of bringing homeless people into our church yet. So, we are there. We are in the end times, and the fields are white in the world, and we are the laborers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now's the time.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to read in 1 Peter. Am I? I'm going to read in Peter. Let me see what Peter I had. Let's see. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Look at that. It turned right to it. Must be God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect sojourners of the dispensation of Pontius, of Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So they're just sojourners. What are sojourners? Guys, anybody know what a sojourner is? Yeah. So they live there, but he calls them sojourners. Because remember, we're born from above. We're not of this world. When you get Christ in you, we are no longer of this world. Remember, the whole reason that this world was created was for Christ to have a bride. People don't, when you come up to the world, they don't know who God is. And that's our job, is to share with them who God is. They have the wrong idea, and it's the church's fault. There's churches that are legalistic, there's churches that are licentious, there's churches that are, you know, into doing the motions, there's churches that are into making people feel good, but there's hardly any churches who give a real good description of who God is and what God wants. As a young man, I was my family, it's who I was. I knew I was going to be a Christian. That's just who I was. It was part of my upbringing. And that's hard because people will come up and say, well, you were born into that family and that's why you believe that way. And I'll say, no, I've wrestled with that a lot. Because I didn't ever sow my royal oats. I didn't go out and be bad. You know, a lot of PKs, preacher's kids, go out and they debauch themselves and then come back to Christ. It's like, I didn't do that.
Praise God.
And I thought, how am I going to have a witness? I can't witness these people because I didn't ever do anything wrong. You know, I mean, I did wrong. I sinned, you know. But I didn't do any of the dumb worldly stuff that's exciting. That when you find out and do it and you realize that this isn't exciting, this is destructive. But I was like, how can I be a witness to that? But then it's because you don't realize who Jesus really is. I mean, my daughter right now thinks Jesus is the most amazing thing on the earth. It was funny. We were talking the other day, and she said, Olivia, that's Addison's daughter, Addie, Olivia is my best friend. And Jesus is my second best friend. I said, no, Jesus is your first best friend and Olivia is your second best friend. And so the other day she was talking to Mary and she said, Jesus is my first best friend and Olivia is my second best friend. She dances around the house singing songs about Jesus. We lose that because we start thinking with this instead of with this.
Right.
And we start rationalizing and start hearing what other people said, and we internalize that. And the problem is we need to get rid of that junk. I guess what I was saying earlier that made no sense when I first started, we put a lot of stuff in, and then we get a stronghold, and we're able to, we're like, this is solid. I have this solid. But then other areas are soft, and we don't put God into those areas completely. And we have to. One of the best scriptures is take every thought captive. What that means is you put that thought in front of the word, and if it doesn't stand up, then you destroy that thought. You kill it, and it's gone. It has to line up with the word. The problem with the Bible is people will take a scripture, and they'll go, this is the scripture. And you go, yeah, but it doesn't line up with the rest of the word because you're interpreting incorrectly. They're like, well, it means this. You know, it means, you know, love everyone just as they are. I'm like, no, you love everyone, but loving them means you share the gospel with them, and you share how they're wrong. There's that young man that I've been talking to for months. He's in Latvia. He just reached out to me, and he's like, you're a pastor, right? I'm like, yeah. He goes, the other day he goes, my parents told me that the doctors told me that I was going to be a girl when I was born.
Wow.
He's like 30. He goes, do you think I was supposed to be a girl? And I was like, I didn't even get into any of the garbage demonicness to that. I just said, you know what? I said, in the beginning, God knew who you were before you were born. He created you at the beginning of time. And then when you were in your mother's womb, he formed you perfectly just as you are. You were not meant to be a girl. You were meant to be who you are. God made you perfectly. And I didn't get into any of the junk that people, you say the truth. I could get into how, you know, Baphomet is into transgenderism and all that kind of stuff. And if you Satan worship, that's not going to help him. He just needs to know the truth. The truth is God created you perfectly just the way you are, with the hair color you have and the freckles on your face and the, you know, whatever issues you may have with your body, whatever. You're made exactly right. You know, there's that guy that goes around with no arms and no legs.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That guy should be the most depressed person on the face of the earth.
Right.
And not only is he not, he's married, has a family, goes around talking about Jesus.
Yep. He's happy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That man should not be that way.
That's right.
Yeah. But he's not looking at his circumstance. He's looking at his Savior, his Lord, his best friend. That's the problem is we look at God usually in one ways or two ways. God is God and God is my Savior. Yeah, but he's also your best friend. He's also going to be your father-in-law. You're also going to be your bridegroom. You know, he is many things, and we have to look at God in all those ways. You know, we have to look at, if we don't look at God in all those ways, then you miss so much of what he wants to do for you and through you, in you. So anyways, it's awesome. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, that right there destroys Calvinism. That's one that bothers me. I don't like Calvinists. I mean, I love Calvinists. I don't like their theology because their theology is godless. It's all works-based. It's like we can do it. You know, who was I talking to? I mean, it was Jeff. I don't know. Somebody said, oh, I know it was Cooper who said this. He goes, people get saved by grace and then live by works. It's stupid. That is so stupid. God doesn't save you by grace so you can live by works.
Sorry, David. To
they believe in predestination.
Okay.
But now God raised up Calvin. Now the people
absolutely
after Calvin.
Right. That's why I said ism.
It's a really stain. He was he was there for a reason. God
right.
raised him up.
I don't have a problem with Calvin. I'm saying Calvinism.
Well,
just
yeah,
like
that's not real Calvinism because if you read about Calvin.
Right.
He did not do all those things.
Right.
That's
just like Lutheranism.
Yes.
It's the same way. As soon as Luther said, blah, blah, I want to go to the Catholic Church and fix these problems.
Yeah.
And his followers were like, hey, no, let's start a new religion.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you guys aren't doing it right. And then it was too late.
Yeah.
They already took off. And that happens time and time again. And I would almost assume that's the devil. Because the devil will take something with a pure intention, a pure motive, and he'll pollute it so that it gets no traction. Now, this another thing that I've been talking to this young guy, he goes, every time I start to spend time with God, I get attacked. I said, well, good, keep going. The devil is not going to attack you if you're complacent.
Right.
And then he will use things to pollute the full purity of what you know and dilute it so that when you speak to people, it's not complete. And then I wasn't attacking Calvin. I was attacking what it is today.
Yeah. Yeah.
What it is today. It's, I had a guy when I was working at Home Depot one time, he goes, I can tell you're one of the chosen. I said, one of the chosen? I said, we're all chosen. The Bible says we're all chosen. Whether or not we choose the gift is another thing. But God said, I came that not one should perish. He didn't say, I didn't come that the chosen shouldn't perish. He said, I want everyone to come to me, but I'm not going to force it.
Okay.
It's up to you. You get to choose the free gift. I don't know why God gave me this analogy, but I love this analogy. There's a birthday party, and when you get there, the birthday party guy, the party that's for, gives you a gift and said, hey, you can give this back to me if you want. You don't even have to give him you don't have to bring anything. You just come. And he goes, you know, hey, I've given you this. If you want it, you can give this back to me. This is the gift you can give to me at my party. We don't do anything.
That's so true.
So
there's a door in heaven that's on the front of it says predestined. And as you go through, you see the back of it says whosoever will.
Right. Yeah.
You have to have a bit of reach to keep you on the straight path.
Well, it says God foreknew, and so then he predestined. He knows from the beginning of time who's going to choose him and not choose him.
You know, like, Jesus was predestined for us. That's how we all get it.
From the beginning of time.
Because it was his plan. He wanted to have kids.
Yeah.
For us to come. And Jesus was predestined. That's kind of how I see it. I don't know.
I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, I hadn't, I don't want to lose my train of thought.
Whom God foreknew.
Yeah.
That's where you were.
Yeah. The foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit to obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's obedience is everything, and that's because, and we don't obey because we're not dead to ourselves. And only God can do that. I mean, God said, that good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. It's funny, to people say, they'll come to me and they go, I have a sin, and I've seen, God showed me a sin. And I need to work on that. And I go, no, you don't. I said, God just showing you something he's taken out of your life. That's a, first of all, he's just showing you, hey, there's this lie in your life that you think this is life. You think this is life, and he's showing you what it is. He's already covered it. It's already been covered. You're saved. It's covered. And now he's saying, I'm going to take that lie out of your life that you think is life, and I'm going to show you what real life is. So you don't need to work on that. You know, say you have a problem with lying or a problem with lust or whatever, because you don't know who you really are. And God's going to show you, he goes, I'm going to take that out of your life, and I'm going to show you who you really are. Could we do that? That's what the devil does, is he confuses us. That's because we're already saved. God, he cannot take us out of God's hand. He can't do anything to us. It's just like Job. You know, God said, you can do anything you want to Job, but you can't take his life. So the devil is going to do, he's going to, when you are where we are and love God the way we do and can witness to who God is, he's going to try to stop you. But the thing is we know from the Bible, from when the devil came after Jesus, after a while, the devil just has to give up. As he realizes, I'm not going to win this one. I better go find somebody that's more of an easy target. That's why it's good to have the word. And when the devil comes at you, that was my favorite bumper sticker. It's poop on Satan. It's like, that's the way we need to be. Satan, you're a liar. When Satan will put a thought in my head, I go, you're a liar. That's not a thought from God.
Right.
That is not a thought from God. God loves me. God loves that person. Whatever that thought was, you just chuck it and go, that was from the devil. You're trying to distract me from what I need to do. You know, you see a person that's being evil and the devil will go, you need to hate that person. And they go, oh, God loves that person. I love that person. I want that person to know who Jesus is. And the devil will go, there's no way that person could ever know Jesus. You see the evilness in their heart. And I go, you have no idea who God is. God can crush that instantly with just a word. I have no idea how God has prepared that person their entire life. And I can say one word and it'll destroy all the hate and evil and crap in their life. And they could fall in love with Jesus at that moment. We cannot assume that Klaus Schwab, who's the most evil man on the face of the earth, could not fall in love with Jesus.
He's blessed and forgiven and loved.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love that. I love that. It's been said a couple of times now. I love the story about the servant who had a massive debt, and the master forgave him. And then he, after he was forgiven, he went and found another fellow servant who owed him like $20, and he wouldn't forgive him, and he sent him to jail. And the master said, you know, hey, I forgave you $100,000, and you won't forgive him $20? That's like Jesus, who forgives us our sins, and we can't forgive somebody a sin. It's like, God forgave me everything. How can I not forgive you one thing or even 10 things or even 70 times 7 things? God forgave every sin I ever did. And he said, you're covered. You're getting into heaven because you received the free gift. And I go, hallelujah. So I need to see that other person through God's eyes. God loves them. God loves people that go die and go to hell. He still loved them. Did not want them to go to hell, but they did, and it was their choice. And that he loves them so much, he lets them choose that. Blessed be the God. Okay, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Gabby's teacher blessed her with a cold a couple weeks ago, and then Mary got it, and then I got it, and now I'm getting over it. Hallelujah. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the thing that was interesting. I was saying the Lord's Prayer. There's so much in that first, our Father who art in heaven. First of all, you know, okay, He's a Father. People think God, you know, is God. He's like, no, He says our Father. And then we know it's not our earthly Father because it's that art in heaven. God wants to be known as Father. He doesn't want to be known as God. This ominous... problem is some people had horrible fathers on earth, and they go, fathers are mean. And you're like, no, because that wasn't a good example of what a father is. A father loves his child no matter what. Even if he's disciplining them, he still loves it, does it? My daughter doesn't understand when I'm disciplining her that it's I love her and I'm stopping her from something that later on in life will be a hindrance to her. I didn't know that as a kid. I didn't want to be spanked. It's so funny. When people get in trouble, people go, are you sorry? And you're like, no, I'm just sorry that I got caught. I'm not sorry that I did it. Just sorry. You know, I was having fun. But when you grow up, you realize, man, it was good. The discipline stopped me. And I could have been something else. I could have been, you know, somebody wild who ended up not listening to God and didn't follow what God had planned for me. My dad spanked me. I got spanked a lot. I was a devious little child. But I was devious in the point that it was hard to catch me.
We remember.
Yeah. My mom's favorite story about when I was little. I probably told this. I don't know. She got home one time. She looked at the chocolate cake and she looked at me and she said, did you eat the chocolate cake? No, Mom, I did not eat the chocolate cake. She said, I was such a good liar that if I hadn't had chocolate all over my face, she would have believed me. It's good. God loves us just as we are. It's funny. People think I gotta be better. I gotta do better. You know, I gotta do this so that God can use you. That's dumb. God uses you. He made you. He knows who you are, and He uses what you think are faults or imperfections to do His will. I'm a procrastinator. My wife, who's a type A, thinks that's terrible. She's the person that if she gets an assignment, she does it that night, even though it's not due for 2 months. I'm the person that does it the night before it's due. But I wouldn't have met her if I hadn't have been a procrastinator. And God wanted me to meet her and marry her and have Gabby. God uses my procrastination. It's so weird. I have come across so many, like, I would get up and I would go, I need to go to work. And 2 hours later, I'd finally go to work. Yeah. And then I would be at my supply house and I'd meet somebody and then I'd talk to them about Jesus. And had I been there 2 hours earlier, I would not have seen that person and I would not have talked to them about Jesus. So God uses my shortcomings to bless people. That's ridiculous. That should not happen. I should be rebuked for that. But God doesn't do that. He uses me as I am. And He perfects me. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, having regenerated us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's why did we need to be regenerated? Because Adam and Eve ate the apple and then we were dead. It's funny because Eve and Adam, they ate the apple and they were like, oh, well, we didn't die. Satan was right. We didn't die. But they didn't understand. It wasn't a physical death. It was a spiritual death. They died. They could no longer be in unity with God. They could talk. God came down and talked to them because he had a plan, and us sinning wasn't going to stop His plan. But they could no longer be in. It's like if you lie to your spouse and you know that you've lied to them, it's hard to be in perfect unity with them because you go and you love them, but you've lied to them. And so it's hard to be in communion because you know in the back of your mind, they have no clue that you lied to them and they're happy and everything's going great, but you lied to them. But then when you confess, hey, I lied to you, then you're back in unity. And that's when Jesus covered us in his blood. All of our sins were confessed here and they were covered. And now we're back in unity with Christ. And there's nothing that can keep us from that. That's what's awesome. It's like, oh, man. It's funny when people lie to Jesus or God. It's like, don't you know that God knows everything that's in your heart and in your mind? It's like, why are you hiding it from him? If you're mad at him, just be mad at him. God, I'm mad at you. And he goes, I know. I love you. It's like, it's not anything. He just wants relationship with you. And that's what we need to share with people. People don't understand that. They'll go, God is mad at me. I'm like, no, he's not. He's not mad at you. Yeah, but I don't ever do good. Okay. Do you think that's nothing new to him? He's been around. He's had this earth for 6,000 years. Sin is not new to him. He's seen it all. He just wants you to know who he is. And he wants you to make a decision. Hey, I love you. I want you to be my bride. the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the important thing, is claiming that. The devil believes in Jesus, but we confess that Jesus Christ died and rose again to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you. It's a good thing God kept it in heaven, because this earth is corruptible. You notice that? It's funny that people that believe in evolution, they're like, evolution is amazing. Things are getting better. You're like, no. The law of thermodynamics says everything deteriorates. Nothing gets better. It gets worse. It doesn't get better. Everything falls apart. You know, you buy a car and 2 days later somebody scratches it. 4 months later, you know, it needs an oil change. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. You know, our bodies, when we're born, it's just downhill from that day on, you know. Teeth falling out of our head when we hit 50, and I went to the dentist 2 weeks ago and they pulled a tooth and put in an implant. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm not scared of anything in my life, but I hate going to the dentist. It makes me shake. Oh man, if you want to torture me, there it is. Send me to the dentist. I will tell you whatever you want to know.
And bring that needle from behind their back.
Oh, man. I know. My dentist, well, he's there, my main dentist, and then his daughter, she just joined his practice, and they have different techniques. He will start to tell you a joke, and you're like, oh, it's coming. And he's like, how'd you know? I'm like, because I've been here enough. I know that when you start to tell a joke, you're about to do something awful. And then she taps you on the shoulder. So how's it going? And she'll be talking to you. And you're like, oh, you're about to do something awful. My chiropractor would hum right before she'd crack your neck. So it's funny. It's, you find people's idiosyncrasies that you can, so. It's good. It's incorruptible. Man, it's good. You know, it's like a parent that, Gabby had these little snow globes that my mom, we told my mom, stop giving her snow globes. She's five. They're made of glass. She likes to carry them around the house. And we tell her, let us take care of them for you. You'll break them. And one day she harassed my wife enough that my wife let her play with one of them. And what did she do? She dropped it on the tile floor and it shattered and went everywhere. And she's like, well, can we get another one? I was like, no, your grandma gave you that. And she got it in Rhode Island. We are not getting another one of those. It's gone. And so that's God. God keeps our stuff in heaven so that we can't carry it around the tile floor and break it. It's good. And unfading, let's see, by the power of God, having been guarded through faith to a salvation already to be revealed in the last time, in which you exalt, and yet a little while, it be grieving in manifold trials, so that the growing of your faith much more previous than perishing gold and having been proved through the fire. Man, that's good. If you ever find a ministry that says you get saved and then you get the power, they don't understand who God is. You have to go through the fire. You have to be mature. The fact that Stephen in the Bible was mature, that showed God, because, I mean, you have to be dead to yourself. Most young people are not mature enough to understand who God is. You have to go through the fire. There's a huge ministry up in Colorado, and they're all about healing and that junk. And the guy that started the ministry went through the fire, but what he teaches is not that. He teaches, hey, you get saved, and then here's how you do the power. It's like, no, you are not mature enough to understand God's power. You don't put a child behind the car and say, hey, go drive. They're not mature enough to drive a car. They don't understand that they could, you know, they may be having fun, but they don't know that they could wreck it and kill themselves or hurt somebody or do, they don't understand. When you go through the fire, you understand and you become more mature, and you get the gravity of everything. Yourself dies, and then the main thing is that you need to not be selfish. And that's, we are born selfish. The minute they come out, the baby's like, feed me, change my diaper. You know, it's from get-go, we are selfish. And it's hard not to be. You know, if it's cold, you want to be warm. You know, if it's cold out, you don't want to give your coat to a person that needs it. You're like, this is my coat, I'm selfish. I see weird things online. There's this guy was talking about breathing. You know, if you do this breathing exercise, you could stay warmer even without a coat on. I'm like, that is weird. Why would somebody have ever thought of that? But it's understanding the body, you know, our body. We don't understand it. We trust our government and, you know, the FDA and, oh, they all say it's, we need to trust God. God designed it. We've lost. It's funny. I was reading some posts the other day, and I was going to comment, and I decided not to. But one of my favorite things is when the people talk about how smart we are nowadays, and I go, "We have lost so much wisdom because we're so smart that we don't trust God." You know, like the farmers. You know, they put all these chemicals on their field, and they kill the field. The field is dead, and they go, "What do you mean it's dead? It's growing plants." Yeah, but the dirt is dead. There's no life in it. You killed off everything that was living in it. Because the way God designed it is plants die, they decompose. That feeds the stuff in the soil. The stuff in the soil feeds the new growing plants. But when you put chemicals on the soil, those microorganisms are no longer needed because the plant doesn't need their help. It can just take up the chemicals. But then those plants aren't nutritious anymore. Because they're not getting everything that the soil had to offer. They're just getting a little bit. They're just getting nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Yeah, but what about molybdenum? And what about, you know, manganese and iron and all that other stuff? It doesn't get that because that's not in the fertilizer. But it was when the soil provided it because God knows what he's doing. I'm sorry, that was a total side tangent. But it's not. Yeah, but that's how... That's how God, and we see it. People discover things. They're like, oh, we discovered this. You're like, oh, yeah, you discovered what God created. I'm following this group. They're called Carbon Cowboys. And they've discovered, they're ranchers, and they all have cows. And they discovered that if they go and find the native grasses and they plant them in their fields, that they don't ever have to water. And they don't ever have to fertilize. And the roots go down 6, 7, 8, 10 feet. Wow. And they're not just shallow. And the cows can come in and they can eat them. And then they send the cows off to another field. Well, like God said, leave things fallow. Let things just rest. And they're finding, we don't have to spend any money on fertilizer. We don't have to water. We just send the cows out there and then move them off and let the stuff come back. And it just works. And it's like, yeah, just like God created it. I get in fights with people all the time about that. They're like, look at this thing that was in bloom. I'm like, no, God created that way. That God didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, it's design. It's like, it's funny when you look at evolution versus creationism. Evolution has all these ideas, and none of them are provable. And I can say, okay, whether you believe in God or just some intelligent being, you can see through the way everything is created, there's a design. The way molecules are laid out and where your DNA is stranded, that couldn't have never happened ever in a gajillion years. There's a designer, and he designed it, and he loved us. He designed an entire universe full of gajillions of stars and moons and planets and everything just for us. Time did not exist until God created us. God didn't have time. Time was not a thing. That's how precious we are. He wasted all that outer space and put stars there and planets and whatever. And it's there for us to look at, for us to, the times and the seasons. It's funny, I didn't know this. If you divide the year up, there's into 28 days instead of 30 and 31 and 28 for February, there's 13 months in a year. I was like, what's the moon cycle? It's 28 days. I'm like, why do we have all this weird calendar junk? It's because of deception. The devil uses deception, confuses us. You know, it's weird. I don't know. This is not God at all. I thought we have a leap year, you know, and it's because there's a little bit of extra time in every day, I mean, every year. And so on that every fourth year, I was like, was that because there was a war and Moses was standing there with the rod and God held the sun? And so now we have an extra half a day every 4 years. I said, was that because of that? Because I bet before that it wasn't. I bet it was perfectly 28. And then we had 365. And I was like, but God, remember, God held the sun for half a day so that they could win the war. I was like, I wonder if that's where that weird... God knows what he's doing. We just need to shut down and ask him, hey, what do you want to show me? What is man hiding that you want me to have? Man, I'm sorry. I could go off on so many weird tangents. So there was a story of a guy that invented a car back in the 70s that could run on 22 gallons of water and drive from California to New York. And the man just mysteriously died and his car mysteriously disappeared. It's like, man is greedy. Because they're afraid. Because man doesn't, if you don't know who God is, then you have to get everything you can get now because this is all you're ever getting. Yeah. But if you know who God is, then you can bless anybody and everybody. You know, if I were to have a business and it would be thriving, I would want as many people as I could working for me that could be blessed. But other men don't do that. They want everything for themselves because they got to protect themselves. They got to protect their family. And it was like, you know what? I've got a God. And God said, he will provide for all my needs. I don't have to, just like the Israelites, remember God said, don't keep the manna more than a day. It's going to go bad. I'll provide for you tomorrow. And they would keep it and it would go bad. And they're like, oh, it went bad. And it's like, yeah, God said, I will provide for you tomorrow. You don't have to save up to provide for you. I will provide for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. Don't worry about that. Anyway, hallelujah. Let's see. But having been proved through the fire and been found to praise and honor the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So they went through the fire and they were still praising God. That's good. Yeah. It's good. If you can praise God after you've been through the fire, that means you understand who God is. If you can praise God in the fire.
Yeah.
We're watching Vindication right now. That's a good show if you guys haven't watched it with Todd Terry. I don't know if he had any part of writing it, but that is a godly show.
And it,
we access it through PureFlix on Amazon.
And I'm sorry, it's called
Vindication. But the show it's about people who love Jesus and bad things come against them and they don't falter. And then God vindicates them. It's awesome. You don't have when God is your authority, you don't have to defend yourself. Moses did not have to defend himself people would come against Moses, and Moses would go, let's go to God, see what God says. And God would go, Moses is my guy. And Moses is like, I'm his guy. So you guys can, you know, go fall down this hole or whatever, you know, whatever God did to them. So it's like, we want to defend ourselves. And God's like, I'll defend you. I am your defense. You just do what I tell you, and I will knock down walls and mow over troops to get you where I need you to go. I don't remember which story it was, but there was the guy, I think it was Elisha, and his helper was there, and he's like, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. And he's like, God, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes, and there's the host of heaven there. And the guy was like, oh. It's like,
wow.
In him you exalt with unspeakable joy and have glorified believing in him and yet not seeing and obtaining the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So it's like, it's good. Remember, Thomas had to see, but the others just believed. It's not important. Thomas still went to heaven, even though he doubted. It's okay. That's what's great. You know, we can mess up and God still, it's okay. We want to do it perfectly. You know, you want to not mess up, but it's good to know that if you mess up, God's already got it covered.
When the next test came, he believed.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. He did. About which salvation the prophets sought out and searched out. The prophets saying concerning the grace for you, searching for what or what sort of time the Spirit of Christ made clear within them, testifying beforehand of the sufferings belonging to Christ and the glories after these. There's always glory after suffering. That's when I grow the most. When I go through suffering and I come out of it, that's when I grow the most. If things are always going well, you don't grow. When things always go good for people, they don't grow. There's no maturity there. They didn't have any adversity. It's weird that that's the way it is. You think, well, if God's a loving father, he would just make it all go well. But I know that for my child, if I just, if I protect her, if I keep her from ever getting hurt, then when she leaves my house, she's not going to know how to protect herself. Because she's never been hurt. So she's got to get hurt. She's got to fall down and scrape her knee. She's got to, you know, when she breaks that snow globe, she's got to know it's gone forever. You know, it's good. Adversity is good. It matures us. It also makes us very good witnesses. You know, I was talking to that guy the other day, and I was telling him about Gabby, and I was like, my wife and I had been married 5 years, and we started trying to have a family, and it didn't happen for another 5 years. Because he was talking about, he's like, when is God going to do anything with me? I was like, just be patient. He goes, I know that God's going to do something with me. I said, yeah, I'll agree with that. I said, but be patient. I said, and then at 5 years in, God gave me a dream. He showed me my daughter. He goes, it was a little blonde, curly-haired girl running through a field of flowers. And he said, that's your daughter. Awesome. That was 5 years in of us trying. 11 years later, she came. That was 16 years. You know, 11 of it with a promise. Things in the Bible happen instantly because it's two paragraphs, but they usually happen over long periods of time. When God visited Abraham and said, hey, you guys are going to have a kid, it didn't just happen. It was a while. And you begin to doubt God, and then you have a Hagar. Don't do the Hagar thing. That messed it up. You know, now they're to this day, they're tormented by their brothers who are like, we're the older brother. You're a jerk. Get out of the land. You know, it's like, remember, God loved Ishmael too. God blessed Ishmael. Abraham blessed Ishmael. It's like, I don't even know where I was going with that. It's good.
He's epidural.
Yeah, okay. So I said, don't be, thank you, sir. Thank you, Alex. Don't rush God. He has a timing and a plan. What's amazing to me, and this is what I, when I wrestle with people with abortion, I always go, look, you can only be born at a certain time. When those two things come together, it was only that time. They're never going to come again, because that egg, and they're not going to ever come together at another time. That person would only be born then. They're like, well, it could have been born later. No, that time, at that immediate millisecond, if it hadn't happened then, that person would have never been born. That's how precious life is. And had we had other kids, Gabby probably would have never been born. And God wanted Gabby born. She has a purpose. She has a calling on her life. She is born for a purpose. And had we had four other kids, pretty sure she probably would not have been born. We would not have been trying.
Predestined.
She is a gift. Man, she's a handful. But we're not going to... We're, you know, it's like we have to seek God every day. God, how do you want us to raise this child you've given us to take care of? Just like Samuel. She doesn't belong to us. We're just taking care of her until God has a purpose for her. It's good. I think I'm going to stop there.
Thanks, David. Right.
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is there talking to you all the time. And he says weird things. You see stories like Smith Wigglesworth where he tells him to do random stuff and you're like, that's not God. There's no way that's God. But you don't know. What's fun is when God will do this. He'll say something to you and you don't do it. And then immediately someone comes up to you and says, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, that was God. And he just told me to say that. And now that I didn't say it.
That's so true.
But that was a confirmation from God that I heard God. God is saying, I had a brother say that to me. He goes, somebody came up to me and asked me for a word, and God said, say this. And he goes, I was too afraid to say it. And then somebody else came up and said it. And he's like, oh, God, why did I not listen to you?
Right.
The thing is if you mess up, you say, oh, God, that was my flesh coming out of my face. Cover that. And God will. So you need to learn to start just hearing the Holy Spirit. And it may sound weird. And you have no idea what somebody needs to hear. You can say something that does not make sense at all. But if that's what God needs to hear, you need to say it. I have a friend. And I don't even remember the situation. But he was at a conference. And God told him to say something to somebody. But he said, not now. And he told him exactly what to say. He says, but he said, don't say it now. And then the conference was over, and he's like, God didn't say it. He goes, it's okay. And then later the person called, and he was talking to him, and he was like, God, here's this person I'm never going to see again. Should I say it now? He's like, not now. And then randomly it happened that she called again, and then God said, now say it. And he said it. And she started crying and bawling. And she said, that's just the word that I needed to hear from God. And she said, and just randomly, she said, if you told me that 2 months ago when we met, it wouldn't have meant anything to me. If you told me that last time we had talked, it wouldn't have meant anything to me. But I have been going through this, and you gave me a word directly from God, and that's exactly what I needed to hear. And it's like, so not only do we have to hear from God on what to say and what to do, but we have to ask him when. Because often God will give you, he'll give you a vision. You're going to do thus and so. And then we go out and we do it. And God's like, hey, I'm not done growing you up yet. I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and I'm showing you what I'm going to do, but you're not ready. You wait till I send you out. I mean, that's soldiers. They join the military, and then they go through training. And then they go out. So the guy knew. So God's got us in his army, but then he's got to train us, and then he'll send us out. Sometimes it's immediately. Sometimes you've already gone through everything you need to go through to do what God has planned for you. But sometimes you need some growing up so that you're mature enough. Because I know when I would first start speaking to people, I would speak emotionally. Because I want you guys to know Jesus. I want you to know who Jesus is. And when they'd say wrong things, I'd get all over them. And now I'm more mature, and I still want them to know Jesus, but I'm calm and I'm peaceful, and I see them for who God sees them. I see the good love that God has for them, and all their sin and all their garbage that's coming out of their mouth means nothing to me. I don't have to defend it. I don't have to refute it. I don't have to destroy it. I can just speak the truth. Just like when that guy said, you know, my parents said maybe I was supposed to be a girl. I didn't have to go through all the garbage that the world would go through. I would just say, no, God created you perfectly. There's the answer. It destroys every other answer. There's no, when it's God, there's nothing else. You can't say anything else. There's nothing to do it. So, hallelujah. Go out this week.
Amen.
Listen to God when somebody tells you. I don't believe in, like, there's people that go out in the street and they'll scream over a megaphone. Maybe God wants them to do that. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that turns a lot of people off and they don't find God that way. I think you walk through your life and God points somebody out and goes, tell them that Jesus loves you. Tell them that, say, can I pray for you? It's, you know,
amen.
God, the Holy Spirit quickens your heart. And you know that because you're spending time with Him. The more time you spend with somebody, the more you know them. I'm not saying God can't talk to you if you don't know Him real well, because He can. But it's easier for you to hear Him if you're constantly spending time with Him. Monty admonished us to speak in tongues 10 minutes a day. That's good. You know, it seems dumb. You're like, that's just being, it's just, you know, what am I doing? You're being obedient. You're learning to hear the Master's voice. But remember, He's not just a Master. He's also a Father. He's also your father-in-law. He's going to be here. Husband one day, He's your best friend. It's all those things. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for loving us where we're at, for whoever we are, with all our faults and with all, and You said, You are my bride. You are righteous. You are holy. And thank You that You see us differently than we see ourselves. We're constantly looking at ourselves, seeing our flaws, but You see us as beautiful and perfect. You see us as who we are, not as what we see as ourselves. Thank You for everyone that is here. Thank You for their day as they go by, about their day, that all the words coming out of their mouth will be edifying to one another. And protect them as they go about their week and guide their steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wahoo!